We welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Jacobson. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Glad to hear. You and I were in attendance at Education After Hours Friday evening over at one of our new venues, the 304 here in North Platte. And great opportunity to support the North Platte Public School Foundation as well.
It really was. I do want you to know that my wife got me that shirt special for that event. And
We have pictures.
Yeah.
Jake Caldwell got a good picture of you, I think.
I gathered that. It was kind of funny because we went with a group and went over to the North 40 afterwards. And I get out of the vehicle and start to walk across the street. And there's some gal looking at me and she's saying, I was going to wear that shirt.
It was a 1970s theme, and Senator Jacobson had a nice shirt that had some bright tie-dye colors on it that the missus picked out, and she did a good job.
It was interesting. I don't know when I'll ever.
Conversation piece.
I don't know when I'll ever wear it again. Let's just put it that way. It's kind of like a wedding dress. You only wear it once.
I'd like to see it on the legislative floor at some point.
That's probably not going to happen.
Well, I'm sure we can find a matching tie.
A matching tie board, huh?
Well, talk about that event, though. It really was nice. And, you know, I like how they have generally had a couple of people, someone that's not been in North Platte that left and did really well elsewhere, and then someone who's done well here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Scott Orr was recognized here locally, and Rob Anderson, who left here and really had a really fantastic career in public accounting and did well in tax work. It's a fun event. I'm glad they do that. It really was well attended, and I think it's good that they do those kinds of things, and they can raise a few bucks along the way too.
Yeah, it's a good win-win situation. Everybody has a good time in the process.
They do. Talk a little bit about this corn and this heat. I'm telling you, having been involved in farming all my life, I find it interesting when you get in these hot summers and you get the real hot high heat.
All right.
Really pushes the corn, but it matures earlier, but it doesn't yield as well because it's pushing so hard.
It's under duress, really.
It is, and what's interesting about it is that the key is the cool nights. If you can get a cool night, so you get that good heat during the day. Really, anything north of 90 degrees is kind of wasted heat units. And that the corn, if corn could get 90 degree temperature, or low 90s during the day, cool down into maybe 60, low 60s at night. Those are really perfect growing conditions, and then you can really see yield boosts. So, but when it gets pushed too hard, it kind of pulls back a little bit. So it'll be interesting. I was down to Perkins County Fair a week ago Saturday, and wow, it's just hard to look at that corn down there. The corn, some of that corn 2-3 feet tall and
dry land.
Dry land just dead. And there's no amount of rain that's going to change that now. And I think a lot of producers down there are really wondering, what do we do? You can't graze it. It's the corn's full of nitrates at this level. You pull all the nitrogen, and it's all concentrated in that little bit of matter that's there. And we don't want it to blow either. So they've got it's been interesting down there as you look at that. And then you got other parts of the state that's had good rain, and their crops look great.
Yeah, that's one of the struggles, too. I've heard a lot of people say that, yes, it's dry throughout the state. It's dry here in Lincoln County, but you get over to, like, the Imperial and Grant areas, and it's almost like you're entering a desert right now.
It really feels that way. It was hard to watch. You could see the pivots were all running, and, of course, you could see just exactly where the water stopped.
Yeah, yep. Darn it. Now, Senator Jacobson, on the legislative front, we know a couple weeks ago there was some interesting news release from our wonderful Attorney General on Senator Groney's situation, and we're not going to ask you to comment on that since that was before your time in the legislature, but I want to talk a little bit about our Executive Chairman, Dan Hughes, speaking of great farmers here in the great state of Nebraska and that region as well, and then talk a little bit about Speaker Hildreth's force as well, as they were kind of put over the coals by media a little bit and by some other individuals. So can you talk about the working relationship that you have with them in your brief time in the legislature, and I know that you and Speaker Hilgers got to know each other very well down there at the war zone, also sitting in very close proximity.
Well, we sat right next to each other, and I knew Speaker Hilgers, and of course I've known Dan Hughes since he entered the legislature, and Dan and I have been good friends along the way, and Speaker Hilgers I got to meet, really got to know him really a couple, 3 years ago, really through my daughter, and really bright guy, very articulate, I thought outstanding state senator, and I think he'll make a great attorney general. He really kind of took me under his wing when I got there and made sure that I kept the same seat that was there. I didn't have to change offices. There were a lot of people that wanted to sit where I was sitting, and it was really great access for me. I was around a number of other conservative senators in that area. I think that was helpful to be next to him to kind of understand what was going on early on. And then Senator Friesen sat in front of me, and Senator Friesen and I have known each other for quite a few years and own some farms about 2 miles apart in Clay County. And so
only fitting to be neighbors once again, then.
Why only fitting to be neighbors once again. We normally conversed about the price of corn when we got there, and I would tell you that one of the real benefits of being in the legislature this year is I normally would have sold my old crop corn, but I didn't have time to do it while I was in the legislature, so I just kept watched the price kept going up. So the one benefit was I got a quite a bit higher price for my old crop corn because I wasn't able to go down and actually sell it and deliver it. So it all got done after the legislature adjourned.
I know that a lot of people have some very kind words about Senator Hughes as well. I think he's done a great job as the exec board chairman. A lot of kind words said about him, too, as he's term limited in the Nebraska legislature, unfortunately. And what a great job that he's done, too. And one of those guys, like yourself, Senator Jacobson, we know that Senator Hughes is definitely a conservative. He's a Republican. But he works very well with everybody in the Nebraska legislature and had a leadership role in the legislature in a number of ways, too, serving as the president of the Nebraska legislature from time to time.
Yes, and it's an interesting process. You know, when you look at the executive committee chair, they're responsible for making sure that everything works. And so besides having your normal role of serving as a legislator and then you're involved in processing bills and sitting in on committee work, but in his case, he's got to make sure that everything's working. I mean, everything down to the fact that you've got to make sure that the chamber has the temperatures right, and you oversee all of those things. It's kind of funny. This, of course, was before my time, but there was they always at the end of the legislative session they do a sign-y-die party, and it's usually they do a take on do a lot of comedy and poke fun at people and maybe sometimes more than they should, but there was a big kind of a lot of discussion with Senator Hughes on the mother's room because evidently Michaela Kavanaugh got pretty exercised on the floor during the pandemic that. She wanted a mother's room for mothers to go nurse and they had to move that around because of the pandemic and because of some of the work going on in the Capitol, and so that became a big deal. I think they lost a couple of days on the floor because of that, and so I think it's important for people to understand that what I witnessed in my time down there and what happened just before I got there. Some things can really get off the rails, and the speaker and the exec board chair, really, if they're doing their jobs well, it's their job to really get that back under control, get everybody refocused, and I think those two individuals did an outstanding job, and it's like anything else. You're always going to be criticized for actions you take, but there's no question that these two guys are very solid individuals. They want to do it right. They always focused on doing it right. I learned a lot sitting next to Senator or Speaker Hilgers because I watched all the senators coming over trying to get bills scheduled. And if you really look at the speaker's job is to decide when bills are going to come up. Mm-hmm. So once they've gone through committee and they've been passed out of committee, the chairman of the committee decides when that bill gets heard in committee, and then once if it gets voted on, and then once it's voted on and it gets sent to the floor, Then it takes the speaker, then it becomes the speaker's responsibility, and the speaker decides when and if that bill is going to be heard. So it's always interesting, because if you're going to be someone that's going to filibuster everybody's bills, well, guess what? Your bill probably isn't going to get heard.
Yep.
Okay.
Until play nice,
the end.
And your bill's going to get to be heard. Then we're going to put it at the end of the agenda. We learned this past session.
That does kind of help control some of the filibuster activity.
Yeah. I was just extremely impressed this past legislative session. I'm watching Speaker Hilgers and just the way that he conducts colleagues in the Nebraska legislature. I mean, it is a diverse group, to say the least, Senator Jacobson. And Speaker Hilgers does a great job at working with everybody. Treating everybody equally and treating everybody fairly as well.
That's really the case, and I can tell you that and he was called out a couple of times, inappropriately so, because I can tell you that I was there. I watched it. I witnessed it. And it didn't matter who you were, far right, far left. He didn't care. He was concerned that legislation was going to get heard and fairly debated and then disposed of, either passed or moved on. And I saw that with everyone. And really, I think at the end of the day, if anybody wants to be fully honest about it, they would say that he did his very best job to be as fair and as balanced and again, make sure that the legislative process continued. And so he's going to be missed. You know, he's got 2 years left, but is on the ballot to be the AG. I fully expect that he will be elected as the AG, and if he is, then he'll be out. And you know, really a great guy, real family man. Really, really have a lot of respect for him, and he's he's a great attorney. He's built a tremendous law practice, you know, just because he's a nice guy, he really is, and he's smart.
Yeah, we could say a lot of great things about Speaker Hilgers, but perhaps most importantly, he's a good Christian and a good man.
He is, very much so, very much so.
And Senator Jacobson, there's been some rumblings throughout the state, too, that we might not have a special session. What's the latest on that in terms of the overturn of Roe v. Wade and control put back into the state's hands?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors going on. I'm not getting involved in the front end of this. I've decided that that I'm going to continue to focus on my own campaign and not get involved in really trying to direct what's going on there. I do know that Joni Albrecht, Senator Albrecht, who brought LB 933, is very much involved in the debate or in the discussions, I should say. I'm sure that Speaker Hilgers is involved and the governor's office is involved. There will be others as well, but that's probably the core group. And I think what they're trying to do is figure out, as you know, LB 933 was the conception bill that was meant to be a trigger bill, so that if indeed we got the ruling that we did on the Dobbs case, which overturned Roe v. Wade, that this bill would then immediately become into effect. We did not pass that bill. It was two votes short. There were two votes there to be had with a minor tweak, I think, in 933, but there was a feeling that they didn't want to change that. I think now what's being discussed from the things that I'm picking up from the people that are involved is that you know, what is going to be the right bill to get to 33 votes, and I think there's some question about, you know, how watered down will 933 bill be, and then I think there are some that are saying let's just wait for this next year, and let's go hear it through the normal process and through the normal hearing process and bring it there. So there's a lot of mixed feelings about what they want to do. You know, you know, it'd probably take a couple of weeks. It's going to impact people's campaigns in terms of time and so on. So I think that's probably weighing into it as well.
Well, and I'm a little concerned about potentially waiting to put this off until the legislative session, because that's going to take a lot of time out of the legislative session itself. I mean, this would devote quite a bit of time by our state senators.
My sense is what would happen is, keep in mind, we'll start now with the new biennium. And it's a 90-day session as opposed to the 60-day session. And so all of the bills have to be reintroduced from a year ago. And so Like right now, I'm working on bills to be dropped so that January 4th would be day one. So you'd want to come in there day one, drop your bills, and those bills are going to get assigned to committees and heard earlier and then get to the floor. So what happens in the long session is you've got, first of all, besides having 30 extra working days, you also have a time when if you've got bills that are coming back that have been reconstituted, if you will, and brought back, that probably could come early in the session when other bills are still going through the committee process. And because generally what happens is you'll be in committees and do committee work, and then they'll start having half-day sessions. So you'll do mornings on the floor, and then afternoons would be committee work. So I would expect that they could probably do something that way, to where if it would come back, it would come back fairly early, because they'd probably have the bill ready to go. They'd drop it January 4th, schedule it for hearing, schedule the hearing early, and try to get it to the floor early.
Senator Jacobson, anything else you want to add this morning on the legislative front, sir?
Well, the only thing I would just say, it's been interesting traveling the state. You know, I've really been getting across the entire district, and I really find it interesting here how the diversity and but what continues to impress me. I was up this last week. Julie and I went up this about last weekend to the to Thedford, Thomas County Fair, and you know, it's really interesting. I really enjoy getting into smaller communities when you've got community leaders that step up and do the things to make their communities viable and relevant and continue to focus on growth. And there's some interesting things that have gone on up there in Thomas County. Number one, a lot of people don't realize that they've got one heck of a runway up there. Mm-hmm. Their airport is probably the best in the region. Mm-hmm. They've got a 4,400-foot runway. They got a $4.1 million grant a couple of years ago, finished the project last year. Amazing airport. A lot of people fly in there that are going to the golf courses over in Mullen.
Sure.
They've got a hangar there that's full. They've really done a nice job up there, and a lot of people that own aircraft up there. The other thing is their county fair. I know visiting with a couple of leaders there that have been involved in the community for some time, one in particular, someone who left and came back and retired in the community, kind of brought their county fair back. And it was really fun there on Saturday just watching how they had games and things that were going on. You had people of all ages. You had the young kids. You had the teenagers. They had mud volleyball going on, but of course you don't get mud volleyball. That's interesting. Turtle races. Mm-hmm. Okay, I hadn't been to a turtle race before, but that's kind of an amazing event. And then they had a cornhole, but there was every age group there, including adults. And I was just amazed at the number of people that were there.
Great diversity.
And it was great diversity, and it really was a place where people came in from kind of across the county and into Cherry County to come and participate in it. The only thing with the turtle races is that the kids get these turtles and they bring them in off the ranches, and then some of them paint their
shell brand or something.
Yeah,
like
and got a little, you know, and some of them are just there and they put a sticker on them so they can do the races, and then they take them back to the ranch and take them kind of back where they found them, so they go back to their normal habitat.
After training, of course, for the turtle races.
Well, exactly.
There's a lot on the line for these races.
There's a little bit on the line, but the frustrating thing with the turtle races is, you know, you got them all in the middle and you got this circle, and then they lift the bucket up, mm-hmm, and turn them loose, and there was this one turtle race where they have the one heat where they were all there, and all of a sudden this one turtle just takes off and he's just heading to the edge, thinking, well, this guy's going to win clearly.
Sure.
He gets about 2 feet from the line, he stops, he turns around, he goes the other way, and about that time one of the other turtles takes off and he goes and he wins. So it's pretty frustrating, I think, if you're a kid watching that happen and your turtle
it's
doesn't
unpredictable.
Cooperate. It's very unpredictable. The interesting thing, though, is I'm thinking about the turtle that had his shell painted and he's going back on the ranch. And he's having to explain to other turtles why he's got all this paint on his back.
Where he's been all this time. Senator Jacobson, you mentioned a minute ago that during this quote-unquote downtime from the legislative cycle, you are working on your campaign, but you're working full-time as well, not only at the bank here locally, but at the legislative office as well, and working for the district also, and your staff is down there as well. So if there's anybody in the district that wants to get in contact with you, you are working throughout this downtime Regardless to what some people think our senators do during the downtime, there is still work to be done.
Well, and as I mentioned last week, my staff's down there every day, and I really appreciate the hard work that they're putting in. You know, they can be reached, my office can be reached by calling 402-471-2729. Or you can email me at M. Jacobson with an O, so M-J-A-C-O-B-S-O-N, at leg.ne.gov. And so I get the emails. I look at my emails every day. I do respond to emails in district. And I also, my staff's there. And I know Joe has been doing a lot of research for me. I've got several issues that came in. That I've got him working on. We're also working on about three different bills right now, and so Joe is also coordinating that as well. So I appreciate their hard work.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. It's good to see you in the studio. Look forward to doing it again next week, sir.
Thanks a lot.